Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Samach Vav Amud Bet, right after the Mishnah. Just to remind ourselves, there were four sections of the Mishnah that we discussed yesterday. The first section of the Mishnah discussed Kiddushin, a marriage that is a proper marriage that involves no Avera. Over there we said that the child follows the Yichus of the father. In the second instance, we had a case where the Kiddushin work, or are Chal, but there is an Avera in the Kiddushin. The example brought by the Mishnah is an Almanah Kohen Gadol. Over there, the Mishnah says, Aleich achar apagum. You go after the one that is problematic in that scenario. Then the Mishnah has a third category where there is no Kiddushin. You're unable to generate Kiddushin with these individuals, but they are able to generate Kiddushin with other parties. In that case, you have what's otherwise known as arayot, problematic relations, and a child born to those relationships would be considered a mamzer. Then we had a fourth category in the Mishnah where Kiddushin are not tofsin, but the Kiddushin don't work not only with this individuals or these two individuals, but nobody can generate Kiddushin with these parties. Then we go after the mother, in that it's matrilineal descent. That's a case where there is one party that is Jewish and one party that is not Jewish, or one party that is Jewish and one that is an Eved Knani or Shifcha Knanit. So in those instances, we go after the mother in terms of Yichus. So those are the four sections of the Mishnah. And now the Gemara begins to ask on the Mishnah, because the first two sections of the Mishnah begin with komakom, which means any place. And then they have examples. Ve'ezozo, what is an example of this item? So the Gemara, the Bavli in general, when it sees principles like that, it sees komakom as being something of a ribui, an inclusionary term, which says not only that which is written in the Mishnah, but there are other cases not mentioned here that should be included. And Ezozo, on the other hand, which is an exclusionary term, over there, it should exclude something. And so now the Gemara is going to go through each of these pieces of the Mishnah and discuss, well, if it says komakom and it says Ezozo, that means that it's coming to include more items and exclude more items. And the Gemara is going to test that by asking questions on the klalim, the principles that are laid out in the Mishnah. Gemara says, komakom sheish kiddushin. We said in the Mishnah, any place where there is Kiddushin and there is no Aveira, we go after the Zachar, we go after the father. Amalei Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbi Yochanan, Klalohu? Is that really a principle? The Chomakom Sheish Kiddushin Ben Aveira, HaBlad Holei Chachar HaZachar, that we go after the male in that case. Haray, we have an instance. Ger Shenasa Mamzeret. A convert that marries a Mamzeret, the Yesh Kiddushin, the marriage is a fine marriage, Ven Aveira, and there's no problem with such a marriage. In that case, the child that is born from that marriage will be considered to be a mamzer because of the mother who is a mamzeret. So the problem with marrying a mamzer or mamzeret is that the Torah says, lo yavo b'kal Hashem, that they're not allowed to join the Kal Hashem. So we're going to see later on in the Masechta that anybody who is inside the Kal Hashem or is included in Kal Hashem is precluded from marrying the mamzer or the mamzeret. On the other hand, somebody who is Jewish, but not part of the quote-unquote Kal Hashem, they are not restricted from marrying the Mamzer or the Mamzeret. So there is a machloket, which we're going to mention in a minute, between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, as to whether Gerim, converts, are considered to be part of Kal Hashem or outside Kal Hashem. The nafkamina will be whether they can marry a Mamzer or a Mamzeret. So this is according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who says, the Tanya, Ger Shenasa Mamzeret, a convert that marries a mamzeret, havlad mamzer. The vlad is considered to be a mamzer, divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, who says that the geirim are not considered to be part of the kahal, the kahal geirim is not considered to be kahal, and therefore the geir is not precluded from marrying the mamzer or the mamzeret, but if they do, they produce a mamzer or a mamzeret from that marriage. So over here you have a marriage that kedushin works, no avira, yet we don't follow the father over here, rather we follow the pagum, the one who is problematic in this case. That seems to go against the principle that we established in the beginning of our Mishnah. So Amalei, Misavart, Matnitan Rabbi Yosihi. Who says that our Mishnah is following the position of Rabbi Yosi? Matnitan Rabbi Yehudahi. Maybe it follows the position of Rabbi Yehuda, who has the opposite position of Rabbi Yosi and believes that Gerim are part of the Kahal. And if they're part of the Kahal, they're also precluded from marrying the Mamzer or the Mamzeret. And therefore it would fall under the category of our Mishnah in the second klal of our Mishnah, which is a place where their kedushin is chal, kedushin take effect, but it's an illicit marriage, it's an aveira involved in the marriage, and there we go after achara pagum, and that's exactly what we're doing here. Damar ger lo yisa mamzeret. He says a ger may not marry a mamzeret. v'yesh kiddushin, and if they do, there is kiddushin, v'yesh avera, and there is then a problem with that marriage. It's an improper marriage. Havlad oleich achar pagum. Like our Mishnah says, you go after the pagum, and that will be consistent with that second statement in our Mishnah. Where it says, v'nitne, so then why don't you just write it explicitly in the Mishnah? Why are you telling me that we have this case that fits under that second category of the Mishnah? Just write it explicitly in the Mishnah. So Tana komakom de seifa la'atuye. That's why it says komakom. In the second statement of the Mishnah, it says komakom. That comes to include something. What does it include? It's including this additional case of a ger that marries a mamzeret, where there we also go haloch achar ha-pagum. V'baitema la'olam Rabbi Yossi. Well, once you've already done that, then some say that we could even do this within Rabbi Yossi Shita. V'tana ezozo l'me'ute. So that's why the Mishnah writes ezozo to come to exclude it, which is the ezozo of the Reisha, of the first case in the Mishnah, that says when you have a kosher marriage and no avera involved with the Kedushin or Chal, that you go after the male. That's true in the case of a Kohen, Levi Yisrael, to a Kohenet, Leviah, and Yisraelit. But ezozo, that's the one that it is, but that excludes the case of a ger to a mamzeret. Because in that case, even though there's Kiddushin, and even though there's no avera, we still are leich achar pagum. We go after the problematic person in that marriage, and the child will be a mamzer. So that's what the miut, that's what the exclusionary term of the first statement of our Mishnah is coming to exclude. Mar says, vezuzo vetulo. Now, if you're going to tell me now that when the Mishnah said there are these principles, and then it gave you an example, you would have thought that the example was just exactly that, an example of a case like that, but not precluding any other case. Now that you're telling me that when the examples are given in the Mishnah, they're exclusive cases, and that anything else would be excluded, so therefore the ezozo comes to exclude it, then you're telling me that there are no other cases where we would have such a setup and come out with the same din. Alright, don't we have a case? Chalal shenasa bat Yisrael. So you have a Kohen Chalal. He was born from some problematic marriage of a Kohen. Now he is a Kohen Chalal, but he marries a Bat Yisrael, which is a marriage that is mutar, and where there is Kiddushin, Diyesh Kiddushin Ben Aveira, Havlad Olei Chachar HaZachar. Over there we go after the male, and that would be consistent with the first statement of our Mishnah, and despite the fact that it's consistent with the first statement of Mishnah, it's not mentioned at all. Halo Kasha, that's not a problem. Kirabi Dustai Ben Rabbi Yehuda Svirle. He doesn't hold of that statement that we just made, that a Chalal that marries a Bat Yisrael, that the child that is born is considered to be a Chalal, because they hold like Rabbi Dostai ben Rabbi Huda, who says that Bnot Yisrael are Mikvit Tahara for Chalalin, and when the Chalal marries a Bat Yisrael, then the child that is born out of that is totally fine. So we don't say there, Halech Achara Zachar, we don't go after the male for the Yichus over there, but rather we go after the female, I mean the Bat Yisrael, who makes it now that this individual is no longer a Chalal. Tosfot asks, according to Rabbi Dustai, why doesn't the Gemara then ask, Amai lo mishani tana kol makom? That the kol makom in the Mishnah comes to include that case of Rabbi Dustai. Yisrael shenasa chalala. And that will be included in the Reisha through kol makom. And Tosfot says, v'yishlamar, dim kein matzino l'mifrach v'nitnei behedja. Because then the Gemara could have asked, write it explicitly. And over here, we don't have a reason not to write it explicitly. And that's why the Gemara didn't go down that path of saying it's included in the Mishnah. Because if you say it's included in the Mishnah, you could ask, why didn't you write it explicitly? And we don't have an answer to that question. So that's why the Gemara moves away from this position of Rabbi Dostai. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, Vahare Yisrael shenasa chalala. So what about the case where a regular Yisrael marries a chalala, meaning a girl that was born from a Kohenic illicit marriage, which then produces a chalala, Deish Kiddushin ven Avera. In that case, we do have Kiddushin and also no Avera. Havlad holei chachar zachar. And over there, we go after the zachar, we go after the male, we go after the Yisrael. So in that case, why isn't that mentioned in our first cases in the Mishnah? If you're telling me that everything in the Mishnah is exclusive, here I have another case that is consistent with that first presentation or principle in the Mishnah. It should have been included. Where it says, Tana kol makom dereisha latuye. Exactly. That's why it says kol makom in the reisha to include this type of case. Something similar to the case of Kohen Levi Yisrael. Mar says, v'nitnei behedyo. So if that's the case, why don't you write it explicitly in the Mishnah? Mishum delo matnilo. You can't do it. En ochanami, we should do it, but we can't do it. Heichin nitnei. How would you include it in the Mishnah in the concise format that the Mishnah presents the materials in? How would you present this idea? Kohenet, v'leviyah, b'israelit, v'chalala. Should you say the Kohen Levi v'Israel that marries a Kohen Levi Israel? So you throw in chalala as well to be included in that list of women who, if they married and it was a fine marriage, would be fine. It says, v'chalala the Kohen, michazio. A chalala can't marry a Kohen. She can marry Israel, she can marry a Levi, and the child produced from that will be fine. But nevertheless, she's still precluded from marrying a Kohen. And because of that, we can't include it in the concise format that the Mishnah laid out of Kohen Levi Israel to a Kohenet Leviyah in Israelit. We can't just throw in Chalala because you can't say that a Chalala is Muteret to marry all those parties that are there. But in Ochanami, we would have included it, and that's why we have Kol Makom of the Reisha to come to include that case. Vaga de Rabba Barachano. What about the case of Rabba Barachano? Dama Rabba Barachano, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mitzri Sheni, a second generation Mitzri, Shenasa Mitzrit Rishona, that marries a first generation Mitzrit, Bena Shlishi Havi. That child that is born will be considered to be a third generation Mitzri. So when a Mitzri converts, the Torah says that for the first three generations, they cannot join, Ador Shlishi, they cannot join Bnei Israel. In the third generation, they can join Bnei Israel. So therefore, a Mitzri or a Mitzrit that converts, they will be considered the first generation. Their children will be the second generation. Their grandchildren will be the third generation, and they'll be Mutar Lavo Bekal. But over here, we have a mixed marriage, which is that the husband is a second generation Mitzri, but the wife is a first generation Mitzri. So if we follow the father, then the child that's born will be a third generation Mitzri. If we follow the mother, then the child that's born will be a second generation Mitzri. So over here, where we said that Rabba Barachana Amar Yochanan Mitzri Sheni Shenasa Mitzrit Rishona Bina Shlishi Havi, the child is considered to be a third generation, which means we follow the father. So here you have a case, number one, where it's a marriage that is fine. A Mitzri second generation and Mitzrit first generation are allowed to marry because they're both precluded from the Kahal. And they're in their own category. They can marry each other. Number one, Kiddushin works. Number two is there's no Aveira. So we should go after the Zachar. And that's exactly what happens. So then, why isn't this mentioned in the Mishnah? The answer is, Tana Kol Makom Dereisha Le'atuye. So that it gives the Kol Makom of the Reisha to include such an instance. Ulrav Dimi Damar Sheni Avi. This happens to be a machloket between Rabba Barchana in the name of Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Dimi. And Rav Dini says just the opposite, which he says that we follow the mother and not the father. If that's the case, you can't say it's included by the Kol Makom of the Mishnah because it doesn't conform. It doesn't follow the male in this case. So that's what the Gemara answer is, Tana Ezozu Le'me'ute. That's exactly what it does. The Ezozo of the Reisha comes to exclude this case. It's a case where there's Kiddushin, no Aveira, yet we don't follow the Zachar, and it's precluded from the Ezozo of the Reisha. Now here the Machloket between Rabba Barchana and Rav Dimi revolves around the Limud from the Psukim by the Mitzri, which says, Dor Shlishi Yavo Lahem. It says that in the third generation they'll be able to join the Kal Hashem. And the Gemara in Yevamot darshins about the word Lahem, Lahem halich achar psulan, that you should go after whichever one is more pasul in that case. So now, according to Rabba Barchana, where he says that's not the case, we follow the father, that is, as Rashi explains over here, because lahem, that din that we follow over the psul shebehem, is only a case where a Israel marries a Mitzrit, or a Mitzri marries an Israelit. In that case, we have Kiddushin, we have an Aveira, and then the Lahem tells you to go after the Psul Shebehen. And that's how we would make the determination in that case. But in our instance, where it's a Mitzri marrying a Mitzrit, where there's no Avira, no Kiddushin, they are not governed by the Lahem, that din of Lahem. And therefore, they would go after whichever one is the proper protocol for a kosher marriage, which is follow the Zachar, follow the male. And therefore, in that case, we would follow the male, which is, he's a Sheni, that would make the child into a Shlishi. And that's the reasoning behind Rabba Barachana's position. On the other hand, Rav Dimi's position is, the Pasuk says over there, Yivaldu. May I show you Yivaldu? So the word Yivaldu, instead of saying that it's those that are born to the parents, it says Yivaldu, those that have been given birth to, which means that Batar Leida Shadinan Le. We throw it after the Leida, after the birth. And therefore the key element here is the one who gives birth, meaning the mother is the key element here. And therefore, since it doesn't say Yolidu, but Asher Yolidu, but rather Yivaldu, we focus on the one who gives birth to them. It means the mother. She'll be the determinant factor as to what generation we have of this marriage. And that's why Rav Dimi says that the child is a sheni and not a shlishi. But the Rambam over here in the sheet of Rav Dimi actually says that Rav Dimi believes that you just have to have both of them get to that point, which means that unless both the Mitzri and the Mitzrit are sheni, you can't produce a third generation. So you need them to be of an equal standing in order for that to work, and that's the limit of Rav Dimi, which is that you're a shlishi when both your parents are sheni, or their parents are a sheni and a shlishi. Whatever it is, the combination that you need has to be a combination that would bring you to a shlishi. Well, then if you have a combination, then you go after whoever has the closest to being a ger, which means that if you have a first and second generation, the first generation individual will govern. If you have a second and third generation, then the second generation will govern because they are the one closest to being a ger, and that will govern the relationship irrespective of whether it's the husband or the wife. And there, according to the Rambam, is the explanation of Dimi's position. So now the Gemara continues and says, Va'ika d'chi'ata Rav and Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Don't we have the case of Rav and Amar Rabbi Yochanan be'umot halech achar hazachar? When it comes to other nations getting married, they follow the male. Again, the Gemara on the second half of today's daf will deal with what the ramifications of the nafkaminot of that are. Nit gairu, once they convert, halech achar hapagum shibahen, shibishnehem. After they convert, then you go after whichever one is the more pagum of the two of them. So over here again, you have a situation in which you have a marriage or kiddushin that's fine. You have a situation when there's no avera, yet we don't go after the zachar, rather we go after the pagum shibishnehem, the one who has the worst standing between the two of them. So then, why isn't that against our Mishnah, which seemingly says that you go after the zachar in this case? Tana ezozo de meute. That's why you have the ezozo in the Mishnah to come exclude that case. So again, it's a little confusing now, but in one second we're going to summarize everything that we said until now, and that'll bring it all together. Hi, Mai. Wait a minute. You want to set up the Mishnah like Rabbi Yossi and not Rabbi Yehuda, then you're going to run into a problem, which is this. Iamart bishlama matnitin Rabbi Yehuda hi. If you say that our Mishnah is authored in Rabbi Yehuda, komakom dereisha. The komakom of the reisha, meaning the first case in the Mishnah, we have komakom, latuye. That comes to include either a case of Yisrael, shenasa chalala, a case where Yisrael marries a chalala, and in that case, we follow the zachar, we follow the male, and the child or children that are born are not chalalin, udarabba barachana, or the case of Rabba barachana, who says that a mitzri sheni that married a mitzrit rishona, the child is considered to be a shlishi. So in both of those cases, you have kiddushin, no avera, and we follow the zachar. We follow the male in both of those instances. So that is included by the kol makom of the reisha. Then ezozo, the ezozo of the reisha, which says that we exclude some cases, lemote de Rav Dimi v'rabin. That comes to exclude the case of Ravin and Rav Dimi. Ravin is nit gairu aleich achar habagum shimnehem. If they convert, you go after the pagum, the one that is problematic amongst the two of them. And Rav Dimi said that if you have a mitzri sheni that married a mitzrit rishona, the child that is born is a sheni, that we follow the mother and not the father. So now, as Rashi notes and the Balei Tosafot note over here, you can't have all of these cases be included or excluded, but these are actually ktani, which is, if you hold, like Rabba Barbachana, if you subscribe to Rabba Barbachana's position that a Mitzri Sheni that married a Mitzrit Rishona, they produce a child that is a Shlishi, then that's what the Kol Makom of the Reisha comes to include. And the exclusion from the Seifa of the Ezozo will be the case of Ravin, which is Nait Gairu, Halei Chachara Pagum Shebehen Shenehem. If you have two converts that marry, you go after the Yorter Pagum, from between them. As Tosafot notes over here, with regards to the reasoning why we say that Lahem does not include a case of a Mitzri Sheni that married a Mitzri Trishona, because Rashi said over there, Lahem only affects cases where it's an Israel that married a Mitzrit, or a Mitzri that married an Israelite, but when it's a Mitzri and a Mitzrit, they're not included under Lahem. The Rabbeinu Meir enhances that explanation and says that it's really taluy in lahem. Lahem means that there are two choices, and then we go achar shepagum shebishnehem. to go after the more pagum amongst them. So the fact that you're talking about Shnehem and pagum indicates that you're talking about two different types that are put together, and then you go after the pagum. So here, in a case where it's Yisrael and a Mitzrit, or a Mitzri and a Yisraelite, over there you have two different types, you go after Achar Pagum Shebehem. That would be same to be true if you have two different nations. If you have an Ammoni and a Mitzrit, or an Ammonit and a Mitzri, in those cases, then you can talk about Pagum Shnehem. In the case where you're talking about a Mitzri and a Mitzrit, then that can't be in Pagum Shnehem because they both come from the same nation. They aren't of a different type, so that you say you go after the more Pagum of them because they are of the same type. They're the same convert. And for that reason, there, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana will say that in a case of Mitzri Sheni, that married a Mitzri Rishona, the child is a Shlishi, and it'll be Mutar Lavo B'Kal, and that's included with the Kol Makom of the Reisha. And he'll subscribe to Ravin's position of Nidgairu, in the case where they convert, Aleich Achar Pagum Shebishnehem. When you have converts that involve two different types of individuals getting married, whether it means Israel or Israelite, whether one of these converts, or it means two different types of converts, then you go after Pagum Shishneyam. But when it's the same type, then you're governed by the rule that we said before, that is Halei Chachar HaZachar. On the other hand, the other possibility is that you hold like Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi argues in Rabbah Bar Chana and says that a Mitzri Sheni that marries a Mitzrit Rishona, the child is a Sheni like the mother. And that's what the Ezozo of the Reisha comes to exclude. It comes to exclude that case of Rav Dimi and say, don't follow the male in that case, but rather follow the mother. Or according to the Rambam, you just follow whoever is the highest number, the closest to being a new convert. But you don't follow the protocols that are laid out in the first line of the Mishnah. And that is what the Ezozo comes to exclude. Obviously, then, the Rabbah Bar Chana is not relevant because Rabbah Bar Chana is arguing on a Rav Dimi. So Rav Dimi's Shita says that Ezozo from the Mishnah comes to exclude his case. And the case of Kol Makom that it comes to include is the case of Israel Shenasa Chalala. The case of Israel that married a Chalala. And in that case, we follow the Zachar, we follow the Israel, and not after the quote-unquote Pagum in that case. So that's what the Gemara here, it gave you two choices to put in for Kol Makom, and it gave you two choices to be excluded from Ezozo. But they line up, meaning because Rabbah Bar Chana and Rav Dimi are mutually exclusive positions, therefore you'd have to say, if Rabbah Bar Chana is included by the Reisha, then the exclusion in the Sefer is Ravin's din about Nitgairu Haleich Achar Abagum Shnehem. And then if we hold like Rav Dimi in the Seifa, which is, if we hold like Rav Dimi, where Ezozo excludes the case of Rav Dimi, the case that Rabbah Bar Chana says is a Sheni, and he says is a Shlishi, then in the Reisha you can't include Rabbah Bar Chana, because you don't agree with Rabbah Bar Chana. You have to include the case of Yisrael Shenasa Chalala. So that's what the Gemara says so far. Now we have something to do with the Kol Makom of the Reisha. We have something to do with Ezozo of the Reisha. And in the Seifa, we also have something to do. Kol Makom the Seifa, Le'atu Yeger Shenasa Mamzeret, comes to include a case of a ger that married a mamzeret, because according to Reb Yehuda, a ger may not marry a mamzeret. And if they do marry the mamzeret, they're in violation of a lav, and in violating that lav, you go after the pasul shebehem, and that's why the child that is born is a mamzeret, that will be included from Kol Makom the Seifa. Ila Amart Reb Yosihi, on the other hand, if you say the author of our Mishnah is Reb Yosi, now in both cases here, when it says the authorship, we're not saying that they are the complete authors of our Mishnah, because Rabbi Yehuda himself holds like Rabbi Kiva that Chayvi Lavin produced a Mamzer, which is clearly not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that Mamzeruim are only created through Chayvi Kreitot and Chayvi Mitot Beitin, like Shimon HaTeimani. So when we say it's like Rabbi Yehuda or like Rabbi Yossi, means in this particular issue, we are holding like them. So if we hold like Rabbi Yossi, which says that a ger may marry a Mamzer or Mamzeret, then Kol Makom Dereisha Kidamran, the Kol Makom of the Reisha, we already explained, is either the position of Rabbah Bar Bar Chana that comes to include, or the case of Yisrael Shenasa Chalala. And the Kol Makom Ve'ezuzo Kedamran, and the Ezuzo, that's an exclusionary term, we also explained, either comes to exclude the case of Rabin, or comes to exclude the case of Rav Dimi. El Kol Makom de Seifa La Tuyemai. The Kol Makom of the Seifa, what is that coming to include? It's certainly not coming to include the case of Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yossi disagrees with that. I says, according to your reasoning, the Rabbi Yehuda, Ezozo de Seifa Lamali. What do we do with the Ezozo of the Seifa? Ella, I did the Tana Reisha Ezozo, Tana Seifa Ezozo. So what you're saying is that there's a parallel structure to the Mishnah. We had a reason for the Kol Makom in the Reisha. We had a reason for the Ezozo in the Reisha. We had a reason for the Kol Makom in the Seifa. We don't have a reason for the Ezozo in the Seifa. It's put there because of the parallel structure to the first case in the Mishnah. The second case will read similarly. So Achanami, so say the same thing for Rabbi Yossi. I did Tana Reisha Kol Makom, Tana Nami Seifa Kol Makom. So for Rabbi Yossi, it has a use for the Kol Makom of the first case in the Mishnah. He has a use for the Ezozo of the first case in the Mishnah. In the second case, he has a use for the Ezozo, which comes to exclude the case that he's speaking about, a case where it's mutar for the mamzer to marry the ger, or the ger to marry a mamzeret. And nevertheless, we say that the child is pasol. So it's following the second case of the Mishnah, even though there's no Aveira, and there is Kiddushin. Nevertheless, it has the din of the second case of Seif, and that's what the Ezozo comes to exclude. It comes to exclude that case. The Kol Makom, which we don't have anything to do with, that's not a problem. That was written to the Reisha. That's written to parallel structure with the Reisha of the Mishnah. So Gufa, now the Gemara goes back to discuss this principle of Ravin, which we said, Kiata Ravin Rabbi Yochanan be'umot haleich achar zachar. When it comes to the other nations, you go after the male. Nit gairu haleich achar pagum shiv shneem. If they convert, you go after the more pagum of the two of them. Mai be'umot haleich achar zachar. What is it meant when you say in the Umot you should go after the Zachar? So as Rashi says over here, the Mai Hilchata Yesh Laleich Achar Zachar. Kol Zman Shelo Nit Gairu. As long as they haven't converted, why does it matter to us that they have Yichus after the male? Uminalei the Bata Zachar Azlinan. And beyond that, how do you even know that we would follow the male Yichus? So there are two questions or embedded questions over here. The first of which is, how do you know that in the other nations you follow the male in terms of Yichus? And number two is, why does it matter to us? Even if you follow the male, what type of halachic nafkamina does that have that we'd have rules about this? Kedetanyo, from a brayta, we can see both the reason behind it, as well as the nafkamina, which is, minayin leechad min umot, shebaal haknanit, volid ben. What happens in a case where one of the nations, besides the seven nations that are found in Eretz Canaan, and they come and they marry a Knanit who is part of the seven nations and is subject to Lo Techaye Kol Neshama. So if an outsider from non-seven nations comes and marries this woman from the seven nations, that if they then have a child, that child you're allowed to use as an Eved, and they're not subject to Lo Techaye Kol Neshama. Talmud Omar, because it says in the Pasuk, that we spent a lot of time with earlier on, because these are the psukim that deal with Eved Ivri and Eved Kanani. And that pasuk says, "V'gam b'bnei atoshavim hagarim imachem mehem tiknu." Also from amongst the toshavim. Toshavim are not residents of the land, are not citizens of the land, but rather residents of the land. They've come from the outside and settled here. So they have come from the outside, settled here, taken women from the local area. So if they, b'nei atoshavim, those children born to them, Mehem tiknu, you're allowed to buy slaves. So you see here, from outsiders that come and marry the women of the land, the children born from those marriages, very you are allowed to use as slaves. So number one, you see that, first of all, in terms of Yichus, we're following the father. Because the father is not one of the seven nations, and therefore the child is deemed also not to be one of the seven nations. And because of that, you're allowed to buy them as an Eved, but they're also not subject to Lo Techaye Kol Neshama. Yochal af eved shebaal shivcha mina umot. You would think, or a Kanani, that baal shivcha mina umot, volid ben shatar ashadik noto beved. Maybe in reverse, the same would be true. What happens if a man who's a Kanani goes and marries a woman from outside the seven nations? So the man is subject to lo techaya kol neshama, but the mother is not. That child, you would think, maybe you can also buy that as an eved, as a slave. Tamar lomar, asher hulidu be'artzechem. Those that were born in your land, mina nuladim ba'artzachem. From those that are born in the land, velo mina garim ba'artzachem. It's from those that are born in the land because they were outsiders that came in and then took wives and had children, and not from those that were living in the land, meaning those that are citizens of the land. And again, that goes after the male or after the husband. So over here, since the husband is a Kanani, therefore the child that's born is also deemed to be a Kanani, subject to lo techaye kol neshama. Also, you can't buy them as a slave because that would be in violation of Lo Techaye Kol Neshama. So here you see, first of all, that the male dictates which yichus the child has. And number two, you see the halachic nafkamina as to whether the child is considered to be one of the seven nations or is not considered to be one of the seven nations. There is also an additional nafkamina, which the Gemara is probably not speaking about, but does have relevance, is if these individuals convert, what are they considered to be? From which nation are they converting? Are they converting from Mitzrayim, Ammon, Moab, Canaanite? When they convert, what nation are they considered to be a part of? So if you have a marriage which has different nations getting together to produce a child, that child, what are they deemed to be in terms of their conversion? So now, that could be a possible nafka mina here as well. And even though that's true, and is answered by our Gemara, that we follow the zachar, we follow the male, and therefore that would be the determining factor. Nevertheless, it might be that the Gemara did not pose that question, because the nature of the question is, halei chachar zachar be'umot. That's when they're non-Jewish. Nothing to do with geirut. It has to do while they're non-Jewish. What is the rule and what is the nafkamina? So there you can talk about the lo techaye kol neshama. Converting, but that's a totally different category. And in that category, ein hachanami, we need to know which nation they belong to, and it will follow the zachar. But nevertheless, that's not necessarily what was made in this statement, because this statement is talking about in the umot, that is relevance to the zachar, not only when they convert to join Klal Yisrael. Where it says, nit gairu, when they convert, alei chachar pagum shibishneihem, you go after the one who's more problematic. But my, what's the case here? Ilem b'mitzri shenasa amonit, it's a case where a mitzri who converted marries an amonit that converted. My pagum ika, what problem do you have here? Amoni v'lo amonit. We have a limud that says that only male amonim are precluded, but amonit, a female amonit, is allowed to join the Kahal right away, because it says, lo yavo mo'avi v'amoni b'kal Hashem, and the Gemara dashes from that, mo'avi v'lo mo'avit, amoni v'lo amonit. So, if that's the case, what are you talking about, pagam shibishnehem? There's only one pagam here, and that's the mitzri. So as Rashi notes over here, if we say nit gairu, then we can't be talking about avdut anymore. The problem must be something to do with the yichus. And therefore, lo matzina chiluk uma l'uma, we don't find any differentiation between nations, mishnit gairu alebo amoni u'mitzri. Except for amoni and mitzri, where mitzri is allowed to enter after three generations, whereas an amoni is not allowed to enter forever. So then, if you want to say that they are pagum mishnei atzadim, over here, you don't have a pagam on one of the two sides, which is the Ammonit, is not a problematic convert. So here we have Nit Gairu, which seems to indicate there's a problem in both of the conversions over here. Where is the problem on both sides, according to Rashi? Others just say that pagum b'shnehem makes it sound like they're both pagum. You just take the more pagum from amongst them. And over here, there isn't a pagam because the Ammonit doesn't have a pagam. Ella, it must be the case, ba'amoni shenasa mitzrit. It's a case where the Ammoni married a mitzrit. In that case, both of them are pagum. Ammoni can't enter forever into Kal Hashem. The mitzrit can be after three generations. V'izachar have ha'shadya batrei didei. If he was a male, then maybe we would send him after the male side, which makes it worse. Because if he is a male, then if the product of the Ammoni and the mitzrit, the son that is born to that marriage, if we deem him as an Ammoni, then he will not be able to enter the Kal Hashem. If we deem him as a Mitzri, then after another generation, he'll be able to enter the Kal Hashem. So therefore, we give him the worst of the two options, and he becomes an Ammoni. On the other hand, if they have Imnike Bahavya, if they have a daughter, Shadya Bachadida, then we force that, then we say the daughter is like the mother. Because if we make the daughter like the father, which is that he's an Ammoni, and she's an Ammonit, she'd be Muteret to join Kal Hashem right away, immediately, because she's an Ammonit. As if she's a Mitzrit, she'd be a second generation Mitzri, and she'd have to wait another generation before her children will be able to enter the Kal Hashem. So the worst of the two options for her is to be deemed a Mitzrit. So that's what happens here. We say that in the case of this type of marriage, the Zachar, a male child that is born, follows the father, because that gives him the worst of the two outcomes, and the female child, or the daughter that is born, follows the mother, because that gives you the worst of the two options. And that's a fulfillment of Pagum Shebishneihem, that the more problematic of the two of them. Koshein la alav kiddushin. So any place, shein alav kiddushin. Any place where there is no kiddushin, we say over there that the child that is born is a mamzer. So Rashi says that the question of the Gemara over here is not the fact that when you have a problematic marriage that you produce a mamzer, because that we know from mamzer, nafkalan milo yikach isha deshet aviv, lo yigalea kenaf aviv, so because of the juxtaposition of these psukim in Sefer Devarim, it teaches us that anybody who looks like lo yikach ish et eshet aviv, where there is a chiyuv that's on par with that level, then they will also be considered, then those, the product of that marriage will be considered a mamzer. That information we know already. So we know that it produces a mamzer. What we're trying to clarify over here is that ain kedushin tofsin b'chayvei kretot. We're trying to figure out or get an understanding of how we know that kedushin are not tofsin. Meaning that we understand they produce a mamzer, but how we know that kedushin don't work. Tosafot questions that and says that it seems pretty obvious from the Gemara that the two come hand in hand. That the result of a illicit relationship that does not have kedushin tofsin is a mamzer. Or if you have a mamzer, that identifies for you the fact that the kedushin are not chal. Meaning that those are synonymous. If you don't have kedushin, then you have a mamzer. You have a mamzer, they don't have kedushin. So what's the Gemara's question? If we know that these children born of these marriages are mamzerim, then we also know that the kedushin aren't tovsin. There are other Rishonim that take issue with that assumption of Tosafot, which is they take it for granted that that's the fact. But we never have that fact, even though it's true. And everywhere they speak about it in the Gemara, that is the case. Many of the Rishonim believe that comes out of our Gemara here, which shows that there is a limud for mamzerut and a limud for kedushin. Once we know the two are correlated, then we can use them as simanim, as ways to diagnose the situation or understand the situation. But now the Gemara is asking the core question, how do you know that the two are correlated? Or how do we know just because you have a mamzer, there's also a kedushin and tovsin? Tosafot, on the other hand, says that that's a given, and that the question really revolves around the shita of Rabbi Yoshua, which is that Shimon HaTeimani, who we said was the author of our Mishnah, believes that by Chayve Kretot and Chayvo Mitot Beitin, you produce a mamzer, and kedushin are tovsin. By Chuve Lavin, there's a lav, but the kedushin are tovsin, and therefore there's no mamzer. For Rabbi Akiva, he just stands on to Shimon HaTeimani and says that even by a lav, there is no kedushin, and there is a mamzer. So they're all consistent with this policy that no kedushin, mamzer, or mamzer means no kedushin. So they're fine. The question is really according to Rabbi Yoshua's position that says, "Ein mamzer mechayvei lavin v'kretot." He believes that the only way to create a mamzer is from a chiyuv mitat beitin. That's where you create a mamzer. But he agrees that kedushin are not tovsin by chiyuvei mitat beitin, as well as chiyuvei kretot. It's only by lavin. So he holds like Shimon HaTeimani with regards to lavin, that the kedushin are tovsin and there is no mamzer. He holds like Rabbi Shimon HaTeimani and Rabbi Akiva with regards to mitot beitin, which is that if you have mitot beitin, there is no kedushin tovsin and there is a mamzer. His chiluk between him and Shimon HaTeimani is in chayevei kretot. By chayevei kretot, he says that kedushin are not tovsin, yet they do not produce a mamzer. And that's the Gemara's question over here. According to Rabbi Yoshua, the Fiat Tosafot, that's the question of the Gemara over here. Why is it that Rabbi Yoshua believes that Chayve Kretot, the Kedushin are not Tovsin, and it doesn't produce a Mamzer? Well, if it doesn't produce a Mamzer, why aren't the Kedushin Tovsin? And that's what the Gemara is searching for, a source for the fact that Kedushin aren't Tovsin by Chayve Kretot, even though they don't produce Mamzerim, according to Rabbi Yoshua. Again, for other Rishonim, it's a more basic question about how do you know Kedushin aren't Tovsin in this case? And that would correlate it with the din of Mamzer. Or for Rashi, we have the din of Mamzer, we're just trying to figure out now, how do you know that Kedushin aren't Tovsin? So the Gemara says, Adama Rabbi Chir Ba'avam Rabbi Yochanan, Umato Ba Mishum Rabbi Yanai. So they bring it in the name of Rabbi Chir Ba'avam in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Some suggested that it was Rabbi Yanai, who is the author of the position. Rav Acha Brei Derova, Matu Ba Mishum Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And Rav Acha Brei Derova leaned to say that the source of the memra was Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and not Rabbi Yanai, and not Rabbi Yochanan. So we have three different possibilities as to who the author of this position is, or the explanation is. Amakra, the pasuk says, Ve'yatzami beito, v'alcha v'ayta li'ishacher. So it says in the case of a divorce, she will leave his house, meaning the original husband's house, v'alcha, and she will go, v'ayta li'ishacher, and she will marry another man. La'acherim v'lo dekrovim. She is permitted to marry others, but not relatives. From that you see that she has the ability to generate kiddushin with others, but not with krovim, because of the word vahita. Haita or havaya is the generation of a relationship or kiddushin relationship. So matkifla Rabbi Ava ve'ema acher velo deben. Why don't we say that she can generate kiddushin with others, just not with the son? Now the son will have a unique standing over here, or a son in general has a unique standing, because he's Mimalei Makom Aviv. He fills in the shoes of his father. And since he fills in the shoes of his father, maybe over there, that's the case where she does not have Kiddushin with the son. But other relatives or other illicit relations, she would be able to produce Kiddushin. Where it says, Ben Behejaktiv Be. The son, we know explicitly, because it says, Lo yikach ish et eshet aviv. Yikach comes from the word likuchin, which is kiddushin, and it says that a man may not take the wife of his father as a wife, or may he can't generate kiddushin with his stepmother. So this is the opposite side of the case that we spoke about before, where the woman who's divorced may not marry the ben, meaning the son, her stepson, the son of her husband. So we said over there, maybe that's what the pasuk of Vayitah the Ish Acher was coming to teach you. We say that we already know that from the pasuk which explicitly says, Lo yikach ish et eshet aviv. So Gemara says, Acher lamali. So what do I need the word Acher or Acherim by the case of divorce? Shvaminah Acherim v'lo l'kovim. To them to teach you that outside parties you can generate kiddushin with, relatives you cannot generate kiddushin with, or arayot you can't generate kiddushin with. Ve'me idi v'idi leben. Let us say both of them are coming to teach us about the din of a son or a stepson. Ha lechatchila v'ha di'avad. That one is lechatchila you should not try to generate kiddushin, and the other one is saying b'di'avad. Even if you do it and you violate this restriction, it doesn't work. Which is lechatchila machot isha navka. The chatchila we already know from marrying the sister of one's wife. Uma achot, which it says by achot isha, it uses a term of likuchin, because it says lo tikach over there, and so to over there we're going to say that kiddushin. So ma achot isha bikaret lo tikadesh. A achot isha marrying two sisters, it results in a punishment of karet, and there we say the kiddushin don't work. Chayve mitot beit din lo koshekein. Things that are subject to the death penalty in Beit Din, certainly they would be precluded from having kiddushin, which would include the case of the son or the stepson. Veima, Dumai says, idi v'idi b'achotisha. Maybe let's say that all of these cases are by achotisha. Halachatchila hadi'avad. One comes to teach you the chatchila that you should not try to marry or engage kiddushin with the wife's sister. Hadi'avad comes to teach you that if you do try to do it, it won't work. So Mar says, Enochanami, you're right. That's what the two psukim are for. The pasuk explicitly by Achot Isha comes to tell you, lechatchila, do not try to generate kiddushin with one's wife's sister. And then the pasuk by Vayitali Ishacher comes to teach you, even if you do it, you will not be successful at doing it, and the kiddushin will fail. So Ashkechan Achot Isha. So now we have this din by Achot Isha. Shar arayot minolan. How do we know then to extrapolate that to other cases of arayot? And the reason that we would say that Vayitali Shacher is referring to an achot isha is because we already find a precedent where we say that kedushin will not take effect, which is, it says, lo tikach. So the Gemara says then, well, how do we extrapolate from that to other arayot? Yafina machot isha. Ma achot isha miyuchedet shi'erva v'chayvin al zdona koreit v'shigigata chata'at. Just like by the case of Achot Isha, where it's an illicit relation, it's something that if you do violate it, b'mezid, you'll be chayav karet, and if you do it b'shogeg, unintentionally, you'll be chayav achatat, v'lo tafsi ba'kedushin, and we see there that the kedushin don't take effect. So let's have a binyanav and a mei matzinu and say, av koshi erva v'chayavin al zdona karet v'shigigata achatat, so too any other case where you have arayot, and if you did it intentionally, you'll be chayav karet, and if you did it unintentionally, be chayav achatat, lo tafsi ba kedushin, the kedushin should not take effect. Mar says, bishlama kulhu atyan. You're right, that binyanav, or that mei matzinu would work for all the arayot, ela, two exceptions, eshet ish, a case of a married woman, ve eshet ach, and the case of the wife of one's brother. Ika lemifra, because in those two cases, there's a logical retort to that binyanav. Mala achot isha, shekein ein la heter bimkom mitzvah. When it comes to Achot Isha, there's no permission to ever marry the sister of one's wife. And that's even in the case of Makom Mitzvah. Even if one's brother had married the sister and then passed away without children, and that woman fell as a Yavama to the brother that's married to her sister, we say that that's an Erva. And because of the word Aleha, Aleha teaches us that there's no evil in that case. Tomar Be'eshet Ach, She'esh Laheter B'Makom Mitzvah. On the other hand, the wife of one's brother, in some instances, can be permitted for Yibum, when it's not Arayot, but then it's permitted. So in that case, you can't extrapolate the din that you find by Achot Isha to the case of Eshet Ach, because Achot Isha never has permissibility. It never will be permitted to marry that woman. On the other hand, by Eshet Ach, there will be instances where you can marry the wife of one's brother. Eshet Ish, Nami Yikla Mifrach, and by a married woman, you have the same problem. Mala Anach Shekein La Heter B'Chaye Usran. In the case of marrying two sisters, the din is bechayeha. You're not allowed to marry two sisters in their lifetime. That means if one is married to a woman, she passes away. After she passes away, you're allowed to marry the sister. So in that case, after death, then there will be permissibility to marry. But before death, there's never any permissibility. Tamar Beishadish, Sheish Leheter Bechayosran. On the other hand, by a married woman, there's a possibility of her being muteret even during her lifetime. Meaning that if they get divorced, then that woman will become muteret to other people. So even while she's alive, you can take away the isur. That's not true by sisters, that isur can only be removed once they pass away. Elam Rabbi Yona, V'yitem Rav Huna Breid Rav Yoshua, Amar Kral, the Pasuk says, Mikol Hashem Yaseh Mikol HaTovot Ha'ilo V'nichritu. There's a summary Pasuk in Parashat Acharei Mot that wraps it all up and says, anybody who does any of these terrible things, v'nichritu, they'll be karet. Hukshu kol harayot kulam nachotisha. There is this hekesh that draws a parallel between all the different types of harayot and says whatever din applies by one of them applies to all of them. So it's this din that applies by a chotisha will then apply to all the other harayot through this hekesh. Now when you use a hekesh is not subject to a logical retort. And if you use a mematzin or a binyanav, where you're trying to create a paradigm, then the paradigm can be broken if there's a logical exception to the rule, or there's a reason to say otherwise. A hekesh is beyond logic, because the Torah connected them for you, and says the connection exists, despite the fact that it may not be logical to connect them. And that's what you have over here. You have a hekesh that draws them all together. Ma chotisha lo tafsi ba kedushin. And just like we learned before, that a chotisha, kedushin does not take hold. Av kol arayot kula lo tafsi ba kedushin. So too, by all the other arayot, kedushin don't take effect. Mar says, Yachi, afilu nida nami. If that's the case, nida is also included in the parashat arayot. And if that's the case, then kedushin should not work with a woman who is in nida. So, alama amar abaye kol modim. Everybody agrees, bavala nida, vala suta, she'en of lad mamzer. Everybody agrees that if one has intercourse with a nida or a suta, and then there's a child born to that, that the child is not a mamzer. Well, if the child is not a mamzer, that means that there was kedushin or the kedushin worked. So why, if Nida is mentioned in the Parashat Arayot, are we saying that there is Kiddushin, when we tell us that Achot Isha says there is no Kiddushin? So Amar Chizki, Amar Kral, the Pasuk by Nida says, Itihi Nidata Alav, that the Nida is the only thing. Afilu Bishat Nidata Teiba Havaya, that even when she is a Nida, Vatihi, that there will be Havaya, there will be Kiddushin. So that's an exception to the rule where the Torah specifies that Kiddushin worked by Nida, despite the fact that Nida is one of the arayot. Michte. Mar says, I don't understand. Ika la kusha la nida, vika la kusha la achot isha. Well, yeah, that, now we have one limud by achot isha that tells you kedushin don't work. You have one limud by nida that tells you kedushin do work. Now they're all wrapped together in this hekesh that says all the arayot are the same. So you have a chance now either to make all the arayot similar to achot isha, or you have a chance to make all the arayot similar to a nida. How do I know which one to pick? So Mar says, "My chazit demakshelu laachot isha aksha lenida." Why did you connect it to the case of achot isha? You should have connected it to the case of nida. Kula v'chumra. One of them leads to a kula. That means connecting it to a nida. V'chumra, and one of them leads to a chumra. Means connecting it to achot isha. The chumra makshinan. We always go the chumra. When you have a choice in a hekesh to go to kula or the chumra, we always will pick to go the chumra. Okay, we're going to stop here. 7 lines down on the top of Samachet Amud Aleph.